كل الأخبار المتعلقة بالتكنولوجيا والشركات الناشئة يوم بيوم في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في. صباح الخير وأهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم تك بالعربي، معكم أنا هالة بسام ومعنا بخلف الكواليس علي. خلونا نبدأ بأهم العناوين اللي رح نحكي فيها بنشرتنا لليوم. بداية، إيلون ماسك يقرر تسريح موظفي تويتر وانخفاض أسهم سناب شات بعد نتائجها الأخيرة، ومنصة مكسب تحصل على تمويل جديد. وبداية أكيد نبدأ أخبارنا لليوم في الحديث عن إيلون ماسك وطبعا تطوراته مع قضية تويتر. تتضمن خطط إيلون ماسك لشركة تويتر خفض عدد موظفيها بنسبة 75% تقريبا في غضون أشهر. وقبل أن إيلون ماسك اللي طبعا هو من المقرر أن تنجز صفقته البالغة 44 مليار دولار لشراء تويتر بحلول 28 أكتوبر، قال أنه رح يخفض عدد موظفي تويتر إلى أكثر من 2000 شخص فقط من 7500 موظف حاليا. ماسك كان قد أبلغ المستثمرين أنه بيعتزم تقليص عدد الموظفين في عرضه الأول للمصرفيين للحصول على التمويل. وفي وقت سابق من هذا الشهر قال أيضا الملياردير الأمريكي، طبعا هو الرئيس التنفيذي لشركة تسلا، أنه رح يمضي قدما في صفقة الشراء لجعل تويتر شركة خاصة، منهيا بذلك معركة قضائية استمرت لعدة أشهر حول هذه الصفقة. وأنه حتى لو لم ينتهي الأمر بامتلاك ماسك لتويتر، فإن الشركة رح تحتاج لتقليص قوتها العاملة لخفض التكاليف. أنتوا خبرونا شو رأيكم بهذا القرار من إيلون ماسك؟ هي نسبة كبيرة اللي عم نحكي فيها، عم نحكي عن تقريبا 75% من موظفي الشركة، فتعتبر نسبة كبيرة جدا لموظفي تويتر. أما إذا بننتقل إلى ثاني خبر معنا لليوم عن أيضا منصة تواصل اجتماعي أخرى ولكن شركة سناب، أعلنت سناب عن عائدات أضعف من المتوقع للربع الثالث يوم أمس الخميس، فيما هوت أسهم الشركة 24% في تداولات ما بعد الإغلاق، بعد ما سجلت الشركة أول نمو أحادي في العائدات في تاريخ الشركة. وطبعا مثل ما عم نشوف شركة سناب شات اللي أدرجت في عام 2017 تحديدا وحققت منذ ذلك الوقت نمو بالعشرات. بالإضافة إلى ذلك عم نشوف أنه في تطور كتير كبير من شركة سناب شات، وعم بتحاول بالفترة الأخيرة أن تعمل العديد من يعني الميزات الجديدة، وأيضا أضافت مثلا ميزة سبوتلايت المشابهة لميزة ريلز وتيك توك اللي شفناها بالفترة الأخيرة. وبالنسبة أيضا لربحية السهم، فقد حققت الشركة 8 سنت معدلة مقابل توقعات بتسجيل خسارة صغيرة أو حتى عدم تسجيل أرباح وفقا لاستطلاع أجرته أيضا الشركة. وبلغت الإيرادات الفصلية 1.13 مليار دولار، في تراجع بسيط عن التوقعات اللي كانت عند 1.14 مليار دولار. وعلى صعيد المستخدمين النشطين عالميا، فقد بلغ عددهم 363 مليون مقابل التوقعات اللي كانت عند 358.2 مليون. ونمت عائدات سناب في الربع الثالث بنسبة 6% عن العام السابق، وهي المرة الأولى اللي بتنخفض فيها أرقام فردية منذ إدراج الشركة مثل ما ذكرنا في عام 2017. وفي الوقت نفسه حتى عندما أعلنت الشركة عن أرباح فصلية معدلة مفاجئة، ارتفعت صافي خسارة سناب بنسبة 400% لتصل إلى 360 مليون دولار. ويرجع ذلك جزئيا إلى رسوم إعادة الهيكلة بقيمة 155 مليون دولار. وزاد المستخدمون النشطون اللي هن المستخدمون بشكل يومي على منصة سناب بنسبة 19% على أساس سنوي، مما يدل على أن الشركة لا تزال قادرة على جذب الأشخاص إلى الخدمة على الرغم من الصعوبات في جانب الأعمال. وانخفض متوسط العائد لكل مستخدم بنسبة 11% ليصل إلى 3.11 دولار. في أغسطس تحديدا أعلنت سناب أنها رح تسرح 20% من موظفي الشركة البالغ عددهم 6000 موظف كجزء من خطة إعادة هيكلة كبرى. وشكلت تكاليف الفصل والتكاليف ذات الصلة جزء طبعا كبير من رسوم إعادة الهيكلة في هذه الفترة، لذلك تعتبر فترة صعبة على منصة سناب. أما إذا بننتقل إلى آخر خبر معنا لليوم في الحديث أكثر عن عالم الشركات الناشئة والاستثمارات في منطقتنا العربية وتحديداً في مصر، جمعت مكسب المصرية 40 مليون دولار أمريكي في جولة استثمارية pre-series B. تأتي هذه الجولة بعد عام على إعلان الشركة إغلاق جولتها الاستثمارية series A على دفعتين، الأولى كانت بقيمة 40 مليون دولار أمريكي والثانية كانت بقيمة 15 مليون دولار أمريكي، ما يرفع قيمة ما حصلت عليه الشركة لأكثر من 100 مليون دولار أمريكي. طبعاً كانت مكسب قد تأسست في عام 2018 في مصر للعمل على ربط المتاجر وأيضاً المحلات مع مصانع وموردي السلع الغذائية والبقالة، ثم توسعت بعدها للمغرب من خلال الاستحواذ على وايستوكاب، وتمكنت أيضاً من ربط الموردين والمصانع مما يزيد عن 150 ألف متجر ومحل تقليدي متجاوزة 2.5 مليون طلب منذ انطلاقها حتى الآن. هذه كانت كل أخبارنا الصباحية لليوم، خليكم معنا بعد الفاصل. مقابلتنا لليوم مع كريم المؤسس والرئيس التنفيذي لشركة كيدز أب، خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد.
Okay guys, we love smashy business news, but Augustus Media is much more than that.
That's right, we are a content house, and along with smashy, Augustus Media creates heaps of content like the Love in Dubai show.
I'm Casey, that's Simran. We're your hosts of the Love in Dubai show.
ورجعنا لكم من جديد ومعنا ضيفنا بالاستديو كريم الرئيس التنفيذي والمؤسس لمنصة كيدز أب. أهلا وسهلا فيك معنا اليوم. ويلكم تو ذا شو، صباح النور. بداية حابين نعرف أكثر عن كيدز أب، إذا بتعطينا بريف عن الشركة، إمتى بدأتوها وليش حتى بدأتوها؟
أوكي، فأنا هرد بالإنجليزي والعربي لأنه في خلطة هون. كيدز أب تطبيق that we developed to connect parents to activities for kids, because there was a, you know, when we had kids, well, you know, we still have them obviously, but when the kids were younger, 5 or 6, and I would find both me and my wife were working, you know, and you know what it's like when you're both working, especially in Dubai, there's
such
long
busy
hours.
Yeah.
So busy, right? And then the next thing you know, like Thursday night, the only thing you do, Annie, I've seen other people that have energy and they go out for dinners. Yeah, well, a lot of us do. We sit, we lie on the couch, we barely watch TV. Sure. I make it through the first 5 minutes of a TV show before I pass out, you know, and then the next morning you wake up and the kids are jumping on your bed and they want to do something and you have no idea what to do. You know, you grab your phone. Back then there was only Google.
True.
And the problem with Google, and also the phone is your solution to everything, which is good and bad, right? But the problem with Google is you have to kind of know what you're looking for, or you will find the companies that know how to market best.
True.
Which is not, you know, in the interest of parents. So eventually, I mean, you don't do that, you don't find what you want to do, you don't end up leaving the house, right? So you end up
or it takes you ages to
get ready. Yeah. And then, you know, you start blaming your wife, she starts blaming you, you start getting mad at the kids, you end up not leaving the house, you order lunch home, and then that's it, your weekend is gone because nobody likes each other. You haven't left the house.
So accurate.
The next day also is a recovery day from the horrible first day, and then you're back at work.
True. امتى بدأتوها تحديداً؟ Like which year?
Early 2017, Jan, Feb, March was when the idea was getting formed, and I was having discussions with people. We started actually working on the app around April. I think that's when we officially formed the company. We launched the iOS version in November. And then, you know, a lot of the stuff I was doing, I had a job at the time. So a lot of what I was doing was from my own pocket, hiring a freelancer here, freelancer there. So we managed to, you know, strike it lucky with the iOS, and we got it out in November. The Android ended up having to be completely rewritten and was launched next April. And the website came 3 months later, you know.
Okay.
I would love to say this was all planned and we wanted to go platform by platform so that we could slowly test the market. No, we wanted everything at the same time.
Yeah.
But as you know, with startups, you don't have the money. You try and find shortcuts. Shortcuts don't always work, actually. And we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Some interesting stories about it. But the nice thing about that is in launching the platforms, one thing we learned is that you discover so much by accident. So because we only had an iOS, yeah, we realized, okay, we're launching with half a platform. What can we do? Social media ended up becoming a big platform for us, where we started using that to tell people where to go. And then we suddenly found, you know, when the app is brand new and small and nobody knows it, and yet you can build an Instagram page to 10,000 followers in a few months, actually that's stronger than your app in the beginning. So yeah. It's like having a second platform. So that's what allowed us to do other things like building the WhatsApp groups and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, as a start, فيك تخبرنا أكثر عن services اللي بتقدموها بKids App.
Okay, so Kids App is basically a platform that helps parents find the best thing for their kids. This is the first and foremost. It is really about helping parents.
Okay.
Everything else we offer is a benefit, right? So the platform helps you discover where to take your kids. The primary part of the platform is the app. A lot of people fall on the website as well, which they find through Google searches. Mm-hmm. And the website now, I mean, we've done a lot of improvements in it, so it's becoming on par with the apps, even though the app is really... you know, our core platform. So we also offer social media to allow, you know, people who are browsing or who just prefer social media to find out where to take their kids. We offer the same sort of thing on WhatsApp groups where we have many thousands of parents in the UAE on the WhatsApp groups.
It's actually a very powerful tool as a community in here.
The WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that because when I was first proposed by, like, I hired some startup consultant marketing guy, a growth hacker to advise me in the first few months, and he said do the WhatsApp groups, and I completely thought it was going to fail because, like, who the hell, you know,
no,
sorry, who wants to receive messages on the WhatsApp? I don't, right?
Yeah,
it was so successful, and that's also taught me even if you think something is not going to work,
yes,
try it.
That's so true. That's interesting. فينا نحكي أكثر عن الترانزيشن أنت اللي مريت فيه as well ما بين إنه you were a full timer and then you were launching your own business.
Sure. Before that, I just want to complete the platform
because
we also offer a newsletter. Mm. Interestingly enough, our newsletter it does really well because, you know, everyone gets bombarded.
True.
So our biggest problem is not getting into people's, it's not people enjoying it. They love it. It's really well written. I have an amazing team. Our editorial head, Kate, is fantastic. So they love the newsletter, but getting into people's inboxes is difficult with all the spam and the spam protections, and those filters don't really understand the difference between value add and the difference. In Egypt, our newsletter is spectacular. The open rate is super high, and I think that's one of our most powerful tools in Egypt, right? Because what we found is over here everyone uses email. In other countries in the region, they haven't started using it as much yet. So the other thing we do, we offer other than just these platforms. So our primary goal is to help parents find out where to take their kids, because that was my big problem. But obviously, we also help people save money. So almost everything in the app is bookable with a really good discount. So for example, if you want to go to Bounce, or if you want to go to Air Maniacs or Cheeky Monkeys, I think we're exclusive with those three and another 10, really 10 to 15 top brands that nobody else has for family. So we help you save money on that. We also save time because you can book directly in the app and all the information is there, right?
That's amazing. There's also reviews part, right?
Yes, parents
reviews.
That's
very important.
So this is something we're really trying to push more and more because there's lots of reviews everywhere, but they're not gathered in one place easily, right? So what we've done is we've created so that real parents that use Kids App can share their experiences, share their photos, and you can even comment on that. So one of my primary strategies for this year is to really build that up because a lot of parents really find that useful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the challenge that we face from there is if someone reviews a venue and they give it a 5-star, the bookings of the venue go up.
Yeah.
If someone reviews it and gives it a 1-star, the bookings go down.
Obviously.
We make our money when someone books.
Yeah.
So there's such a really big temptation. You know, you see the 1-star, you really want to do something about it. So one of the things that we do, because again, we always remember our primary purpose is to help the parents, right? So we always have to, when we see a 1-star review, keep it. That's it. We will never delete a review unless it's obviously a fake review or offensive, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll go to the venues and we'll convince them, look, you need to reach out to this customer and somehow find a way to convince them that you've dealt with the problem that they identified.
But that's amazing.
And
transparency as well.
Transparency and improving the service.
Yeah.
And then we really encourage the venues, and some are different, you know, receptive to different levels, right? To then encourage their users to review it so that the purchases go up for both of us,
exactly.
You know? So that's the platform.
Interesting. طيب إذا بدنا نرجع على your transition from a full-timer, because we get a lot of questions about that, especially for people that they want to launch their own business, but also they're afraid to do the jump, for instance. So tell us, كيف أنت كنت full-timer and then you started?
You talk to any VC and they'll tell you, no, you have to have a whole team, you have to be dedicated, that's the only way to succeed. And it's very discouraging when you hear that.
Yeah.
Because not all of us know how to go down that route of how to talk to VCs and to set up a business that will work for them. Because also, Not all businesses, there's two things you need to do if you're going to go down the route where you go and you get funding and you drop everything and you do it, right? One is you have to have a track record.
Yeah.
And you have to be very slick at understanding how to talk to these kind of investors. And then the third thing is you have to have a certain type of business or be able to present your business as that type of business that the VCs are looking for. You can have a beautifully successful business, okay, but it might not be, you know, the style of investment VCs want. So I had a lot of that challenge. Everyone was telling me, listen, there's competitors out there where they're full-time and they're raising money and you're going all on your own and you're hiring people freelance in different countries. And yes, it made things very difficult, right? But there was no other way we could do Kids Up. Mm. Not with the funds that we had, not with the time that I had or the experience that I had with dealing with investors, right? So there's a lot of companies out there that have bootstrapped very successfully. Mm. There's one called Jotform that I really liked because we used them in the early days. And the founder even wrote a story about how they bootstrapped in the beginning. And Jotform is basically kind of like a form, like Google Forms, but a lot more powerful. And we were using it for our bookings in the beginning. Mm. And then you will quote me obviously because I'm on live, but if I recall, MailChimp was bootstrapping for many, many years.
Interesting.
If I recall correctly, it was MailChimp or one of the other big mailing things. Mm. So you can be successful bootstrapping as long as there is the time and it's the kind of business you could do it. You know, maybe, for example, an Uber or a Careem couldn't do it because you need to scale really fast.
True.
But KidZap is the kind of business where you can grow organically and hasn't been done a lot before. So there's a lot of learnings. So even if you grow fast, you could go in the wrong way. So it's very organic. It's very like learnings from the ground, you know, slow growth, picking things up, mistakes and fixing them. So that kind of business, I think, can work as a bootstrap, mm-hmm. you know. The market, I would say, isn't so much competitive, but there's a lot of channels where you can book tickets and
exactly.
things like that.
Yeah.
But if you do it in the right way, nobody really does it that way. Everyone
yeah.
does it a very scalable way. So I feel also we did things a bit differently and we had a product that had real value.
Yeah.
Even with one user, it would have value. I think those are the kind of businesses you can bootstrap because if you can pick KidZap up and find out where to go, you can basically bootstrap your way because one user is already finding the app useful. You don't need another 10,000 or the app will die, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm thinking almost as we speak, but, you know, bootstrapping works and you can do it. Mm-hmm. But I think for certain types of businesses, it can work for longer and for other types of businesses, you need to very quickly try and raise funds to scale. And for the kind of business KidZap is, it worked because there's a lot of learnings, a lot of organic growth, and the product itself has value from day one. But you just need to have enough money to see it through. And you also need to be able to find ways to get the funds when you start running out.
Tayyab, what kept you going? Because since 2017, and even obviously before, you were thinking about it.
So basically, first of all, in the beginning, it was my salary.
Yeah.
So, I remember for the first 9 months to a year, I'd be waking up at 5 a.m. I would work on KidZap. Then I would go to the office. Then at the lunch break, I would, contact the developer or whatever. And then after I'd go home. And then 6 to 7 p.m. became my sacred time with the kids,
wow.
which I didn't have before. So this actually forced me to spend more time with the kids. And it's your special 1 hour where you don't have to stress about all the work and KidZap and everything. And it actually gave me a lot of freedom, and I think it was really nice for the kids, right? And then from 7 until 1, again, I would work, sleep, wake up at 5. That was a cycle. It's very tough. It's not easy to bootstrap. And then around about COVID time, just before COVID hit, we were just starting to gain momentum.
Mm.
And I managed to get friends and family to put in really not much money, but enough to really say, okay, I can leave my company and work on KidZap for a year and really grow it.
Yeah.
So I left the company and then lockdown hit.
Oh my God. And?
Lockdown, obviously, you know.
There's no events, no.
I'm getting no salary in yeah. for my company. There's nothing happening outside. But we were very lucky because, I mean, we had an amazing team and they all like went down. We didn't even go down in salary too much. I think somewhere between 30 and 40%.
Yeah.
A lot of companies went more and they
yeah,
let people
exactly.
go. And we didn't. And
yeah.
part of the reason we didn't is because we were used to running at a loss.
Mm.
So, you know,
yeah.
it didn't hurt us too much. But what it meant is it would have been harder to grow. But we managed to pivot. We did a lot of content stuff. KidZap TV live on Instagram, in the app. We did an online summer camp in partnership with Barbie and Baby Shop. We
nice.
Did, we did a lot of stuff mm. that taught us about content.
Mm.
And during that time also, basically, I had a month and a half, 2 months, where I didn't have to worry so much about customers and clients and merchants, and I really focused on improving the features, making the app more robust. The other thing we did is we worked with different partners. They didn't have digital platforms. Like places like Bounce, for example, Cheeky Monkeys, Air Maniac, Splash and Party, all of those are not, they're bricks and mortar. Yeah. So they don't have a way to reach their customers during the lockdown, right? So what we did was we gave them a platform to work with us on online classes to keep, to stay in the mind of the customer. Yeah. All this seems to have worked, came together after COVID when the lockdown launched. That's really when we started growing, you know? So everything came together at that time.
Amazing.
But we started talking about this because we were talking about how do you bootstrap, right?
Yeah.
So we did all this. And there has to come a time when you stop bootstrapping, right? So what I did was, I focused on KidZap for about a year, year and a half. We started getting to the point where really our revenues were coming in, but our costs were going a lot higher. So the cost of the business, for example, originally my plan would have been you would raise about $1 to $2 million before our costs go to where they are, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we've grown enough that we're almost covering these costs that should require an investment of $2 million. And so we're looking at, and I'm taking a small salary from KidZap, right? Yeah. So we're looking at now raising money just purely for growth, right? So it's a different environment, but I've gone back to doing consulting work.
Okay.
Because now for a different reason. Initially, I was funding KidZap. Mm. Now I'm getting a small salary from KidZap, but between my wife and I, we still have like two kids and school fees and rent. Yeah. So the difference now is that I'm more consulting with less hours to help, you know, the family expenses,
yeah,
not to fund KidZap anymore.
Which is very realistic too, yeah.
It's a better position, yeah, to be in, and it's a new space to be in, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, from looking where KidZap is, and so you can say there's different reasons to do that, to work while you're bootstrapping,
yeah,
right? One is to get the business up. Another one is then to supplement your entrepreneurial income,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think, without a doubt, I believe that KidZap can 5x to 10x just in the UAE, not even considering Egypt or the other countries we, yeah, can go to, right?
Yeah.
So now we're looking at exactly the question you asked, are we going to bootstrap or do we raise funds now for the next year to really grow?
Mm.
So, you know,
it's very interesting, like the whole journey. And that takes me to another question, which is like you have the brand awareness, you have the marketing and content, and you have the tech side as well. What was your biggest challenge in this journey? It
so,
took him a while to...
No, because, you know, every stage had its own challenges,
yeah,
and we've always had a challenge in each different area as we went along.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that our biggest challenge was some learnings. One of them, which is, you know, if you can find the right people, even if you can't afford them, you need to invest in the right people. Because otherwise, you won't overcome the challenges and you won't grow. So... And this is a learning from the last year and a half where the challenge has been, okay, I need to hire this amazing person, but I don't have the money.
Yeah.
So if I hire her or him, then it has to work out because they are the ones who are expected to help the business grow so I can actually afford them, you know? So you take these kind of risks. So that was one big challenge. Another big challenge, which I still have, is the difference between creating the perfect business and product that I really believe in and doing really practical stuff to get to users, to get the money and to really give the users immediately what they want, not what I think they want or not what I know they would love if they were just patient enough,
okay,
you know? Those are the two big challenges. But we faced, if you're talking functionally, every step of the way we had challenges. The beginning it was tech,
yeah,
right? And for years...
The iOS app and Android, and then the shock that the Android, like, you had to rewrite it, so...
I'll quote one of the people who I think is one of the best CTOs in the region in the startup world, and he's become a friend, and I'm actually trying to convince him to join KidZap. He wants to join, we just can't afford him yet, right? We don't have a CTO, I'm doing it. He actually told me he's never seen a startup have as much bad luck with technology as we have had.
Wow.
So that was him. And we did well, right? Now I've outsourced some of our tech, and for the last year it's been stable so far. Now we're facing some problems with these guys, but I know how to manage it.
Yeah.
And we have some in-house developers. So some of it's more in our control.
Yeah.
The other areas we faced in every single area. A big one was accounting. Like we got to the point where an investor wanted to do like a small family office, wanted to put in a significant amount of money, and they asked for due diligence. And this was earlier this year. And I'm like, okay, great. Went to put in the accounts and then found they were a complete disaster. So we had to keep hiring accountant after accountant after accountant.
And it's a waste of time.
The same problem that I had until eventually one of our partners, who is a finance guy, one of the friends and family invested, he's handling the accounting with an accountant he knows, and we're paying him, you know, much more than I can afford.
Yeah.
Again, the same concept, because we need this and it's the right thing to do. And we're cleaning up the finances, but we've already lost that investor, but there will be others, right?
Yeah, obviously.
So 7 months, the guy's been waiting, you know? So that was a challenge. The other challenge we faced was marketing. And the funny thing is, every time, and I don't know if this is how the world works, it probably is, but or if you're just driven, once you really have to solve the problem, you will find the solution. Marketing and digital advertising was our big problem, right? So now we spent a long time trying to find the right marketing strategy person and the right, you know, performance marketing person that understands data and analytics and everything, right? And now is the time we really, really need it. So one of them is actually in the studio and she's doing an amazing job.
Yes, shout out to her.
And, she's filming us now, Louis. Hi. And we, you know, but then that leaves the weakness we have, which is on the performance marketing and data side. So, you know, a very good friend of mine from my old job, and by the way, this is why bootstrapping is amazing, because you'll find your old colleagues were with you on the journey and they will support you with contacts and everything, found me an amazing performance marketing person that is going to start working with us in the evenings, you know, also bootstrapping.
Amazing.
And they will give us, I think, clean up how we do measurements and analytics and everything. And just the first conversation with them showed me we found the right person, right? And so I feel now that was marketing was the problem, now it's getting solved. It's going to rotate, it's going to keep rotating.
For sure.
Once, you know, hopefully in the next 3 months we solve marketing, the next problem might be tech.
Yeah.
It might be customer service, you know, there's so many things.
Taf Karim, you talked a lot about talent. Can you tell me just take like two indicators of a good talent? Like what tells you that that's a good talent for you? Is it passion? Is it believing in the product? Like,
so there's a lot of things I'm not good at.
Yeah.
But I'm good at a lot of things, but there's a lot of things I'm not great at. But if there's, I think one of the skills that I have that I've learned over time is recognizing talent. Right.
Yeah.
And I've thought about this. It's funny you asked that. I've thought about it a bit to try and think, what is it that I recognize? I feel it's a bit intuitive, right?
It is.
For me.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, everyone's good at something. I'm lucky to be, that could be my thing, right? Mm. So, for example, I'll be in a sales meeting with someone from another company trying to sell us something. And then I'll ask them if they're happy in their job because I want to hire them. So I had that. And we hired that person and they joined. Maybe someone else nearby, the same thing happened, you know. And then, I was talking to this guy yesterday, the marketing guy. I believe he's going to work out, inshallah, you know.
Mm.
So this is, what is it that does it? So the first thing I think for me is that if they wow me, like if you see them in action, it's amazing. So they need to wow you. So if you're sitting in a sales meeting and the salesperson wows you, if you're dealing with a customer service at another company, you've got a problem, you're really frustrated and you're like, wow, the guy calmed me down, solved my problem, and he does it every time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of someone already that I want to try and have a coffee with and hire, you know?
He's a good headhunter.
You know, there were, you know, those are the things then. But you see the opposite. You can go to a company and you're saying, man, you've made me hate your company.
True.
Like that is the worst customer service I've ever seen, to save $100 when you could work with me for $1,000 every year, you know? So this is the thing, they have to wow you. And then if you can take that to the interviews and to the people you meet, if you can turn the interview into actually what you'll be doing with that person. So for example, if you're dealing with a customer service, put them a bit under pressure in the interview, make them a bit uncomfortable. Ask them questions that you know, in the style a frustrated customer might be. Give them problems to solve, see how they solve your problems. And I don't do this very, like, calculating way.
Yeah.
It just seems to have emerged, right? So then you can be wowed. You know, this person, like once I was going to hire someone for social media, and then I realized that actually I was giving them some challenges and they might be better in customer service, right? Another time we hired someone for social media, wasn't working out, but I knew in their previous company they were doing kind of brand sales, right? Mm. So we agreed, that person and I agreed to shift them to brand sales. It's been very short time, a month. So far, it looks like they're going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the first thing I think is let them wow you. I think the second thing is to be flexible, because you could have a talent, but then you don't know, but it's just in the wrong place.
That's
right?
So true.
So we hired also, initially we hired a writer in Egypt to work on some writing. And then our social media person left.
Mm-hmm.
And we desperately needed someone for social media. So we put this person on social media, and they've been like, they were the most, one of the most talented social media person we've ever worked with.
Yeah.
She stayed a year and then she started her own business, right? Mm-hmm.
But still that.
So yeah. I would say those are the two things. Maybe. Be ready, be on the lookout for talent.
Mm-hmm. I love seeing them in action part.
This is the only way. Yeah. So that you can, and then if you're wowed by someone, yeah. recognize it, and then be flexible enough to take advantage and say, I need this person.
Exactly.
You know? Like, or I need to move this person, or I need to keep this person. I think that those are the two things in talent.
Amazing. What's next for Kids App? And we were chatting off air, like if a company, a big company, for instance, or any company would like to offer to buy Kids App. And we were chatting, like Groupon, for instance, would you sell it?
Everybody has a price,
right?
You know, if you came to me with $1 billion, I might think about saying yes.
Okay,
maybe.
Yeah.
No, on a serious note, there's a couple of things. I don't think we're at the stage where we want to sell.
Okay.
I think there's so much more value that we can very quickly create with the right finances. You know, so if you give me the right money, I think we can end up being worth $100 million in 5 to 7 years, and then continue to be $1 billion. Mm. I believe that, right? At the same time, there's a risk. So I always ask myself, what would I do if someone came and offered me money for Kids App right now? And I have partners as well, so
yeah.
you have to consider that. And I think, okay, would it be this much or that much
yeah.
or this much, right? So, you know, I would come to the point where I get to $20 million, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, right now, in this microsecond, the answer is no. I wouldn't sell it for 20 million. But if they came and put $20 million on the table in front of me,
you might think about it.
You know, there's a, yeah, obviously, yeah. everybody would. Okay, then I don't have to do the double jobs and the yes. consulting, and yeah. I can, you know. But I believe we can get to $100 million, you know. At the moment, we're not profitable, right? Which makes sense, because if we were, it means we're not trying to grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I do believe we can be fairly soon worth $100 million if everything goes right for us and we play our cards right,
yeah.
you know? So that's one thing. The second thing I would consider is who's buying us.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a calculation where anybody can buy us. I think I have to, two things have to happen. I have to believe in that company can do the right thing with the brand.
Okay.
Because I don't think we would ever sell everything. Because, you know, at this stage where we were at, so there's two things. I want the investors out there to know.
Mm.
Obviously, you have to say things for investors. I'm ready to sell for the right amount of money. So put your money in. Don't worry. You'll be able to exit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I also want the users and to know and the true philosophy behind the brand. We're building something. We're not just trying to make money.
Mm.
So it has to be some element where we keep part of the equity so that we can grow with it as well. And there's some kind of relevance, either brand or a good plan that they have for the brand. We're, you know, we're trying to build something, and it's not just to make money.
Yeah.
We want to benefit the users. We want to benefit our merchant partners, you know, and we want to believe all of us that work there. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people are passionate. We want to build something that really impacts things and stays.
Yeah, and stays.
So it's a mix of all of them.
Yeah, amazing. Know? Thank you so
but
much.
But if you want to buy it for $100 million, can you give them my number?
Yeah, sure. Off air, contact me. Thank you so much, Kareem. Thank you especially for your transparency and sharing your journey with us. Thank you. Thank you. شكرا لكل الناس اللي تابعتنا. أنا بشوفكم يوم الاثنين بنفس الموعد. نهاركم سعيد جميعا.
مثل ما وعدناكم أخبار جديدة ومقابلات مع رواد أعمال يومياً في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في. حملوا التطبيق الآن.